In Chagiga, Beis Yudalad Amud Beis, we had begun a discussion of the four who entered the heavenly orchard, the paradise, and we said this discussion is going to lead us to the story of Acher, otherwise known as Elisha ben Avuya. And where we had left off was a discussion about four who entered this orchard, and only one made it. The four that entered were Ben Azai, who was Shimon Ben Azai, and Ben Zoma, who was Shimon Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. And we have quoted that our sages discuss that in order to enter this orchard, so a person who has fixed his traits may fast for a certain number of days and then say certain specific psalms, certain songs and praises, and then he sees with his eyes, he sees seven chambers, inner rooms, and he visualizes as though he's passing from one to the other and sees what's in each one. And regarding this experience and how one experiences it, our sages compiled two compilations, one called Haicholet Rabati and the other one called Haicholet Sutrati. And today we have excerpts as part of these Tanaic works. From what we still have, we can understand that the sages used to use the holy names in order to attain heights and understanding as to how Ma'asena Kava, the work of God's chariot, so to speak, God's running of the world, how it works. And in generations following the Tanaic period, meaning after the destruction of the Amoraic period, our sages used the names less and less in order to attain heights of understanding. And Arizal explained this. He said that in order to use those names, one must have complete purity down here on earth. And in the Amoraic period, they could no longer purify themselves from Tumat Met. So we're all in a state of impurity. And therefore, if they couldn't use these names as freely, because if one uses a name when he is not pure, he is endangering himself.
Especially if he wasn't alive at all, if he uses a name in vain.
Okay, we're not discussing in vain. So now our sages tell us that four entered this orchard, and as they were entering, prior to their entrance, Rabbi Akiva warned them, when you reach what seems like pure stones of marble, and they seem to be shining like clear water, be careful, they are waters, be careful not to think that they are waters. Don't say, mine, there are waters here. And obviously, if we're discussing what they saw when they got up there, so we're discussing depths of understanding. And obviously, if we're discussing depths of understanding, so you need someone who has depths of understanding to explain it. And you got the wrong candidate sitting up here. So we'll mention a few, we'll mention some possible understandings, but bottom line, as you learn, hopefully you'll get deeper understanding. Hopefully I'll also get a deeper understanding, all of us. So, one understanding as to what's going on here is that as one goes nearer to understanding the way God runs the world, there exists a facade, the ability for one to err in thinking that there is something physical up there. When one sees things, one can err in his understanding of what he's seeing, and it is easy for one to slip into attributing physical qualities to God and God's strength. And that's what he's telling them. You're going to see something clear, and you're going to think it's what you're used to calling water. And don't call it water, because that's a mistake. And the higher a person goes, the more critical it is if he errs when trying to understand how God runs the world. From our perspectives, we could ask all the questions in the world, and leave things hanging and there's nothing wrong because we're still way down here. But the closer one gets, the more critical it is that one's understanding is correct. And when they entered this orchard, whatever that means, so Ben Azai took a peek towards the side of the Shekhinah. Ben Azai hit feet, he peeked, and he died right away. And regarding him, the verse states, Yakal b'inei Hashem amatza l'chassidav. It's heavy in the eyes of Hashem, the death of his chassidim. Ben Azai was a young man, and he could have attained greater heights, but when he took a peek, he said, I'd rather be close to God. His neshama remained up there. His body remained down here, his neshama remained up there. And Ben Azai is one that's brought as exemplary of chassidut, that one who's extra, extra pious. Ben Azai is the one who never got married. Said Mashiach Hashka B'Torah. I want to learn Torah. I can't handle the physical of getting married. Other people get married. He taught his disciples, if one doesn't get married, he's destroying the world. He gave a whole long speech how terrible it is if one doesn't get married. When he finished his speech, the students asked him, what about you? So the Gemara goes through his answer there. But bottom line, Ben Azai is exemplary of chassidut, of this level that a person is extra pious and wants to connect to his Creator. And his neshama decided to stay up there, which wasn't the correct choice. We see that God, so to speak, laments his death. Yeah.
Does these four passages have anything to do with the Rashad Kiddush cup that has the four passages written on it?
I have no idea.
Well, inside the Kiddush cup, it's got all the four sentences and the Greek.
Okay.
Rabbi Shalom Shabbi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have anything?
Yeah.
So this is after the fast of 40 days.
Didn't say how many days.
What were you saying before about fasting 40 days?
I said fasting a certain number of days. I said 40 days?
No,
I thought I left that blank.
The food we did.
Yeah.
The food we did.
And
they're
saying a number of the healing.
I think that was our.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He fasted a number
of days. All of them had done these preparations and now they enter together. Whatever that means. There seems to be different understandings among our sages whether it literally means that they walked in the heavens or it means that their perception went up to the heavens. Ben Zoma, he peaked v'nifga, and he went crazy. He wasn't on a high enough level. He wasn't on the level that Ben Azai was. So when he also tried to look to take a peek, he wasn't able to contain it, and everything went haywire by him, and he just became crazy. And regarding Ben Zoma, the verse states, "Dvash matzata, if you found honey, echol dayeka, eat the right amount, as much as you need. Pentis ve'enu, lest you try to satiate yourself from the honey, vakilto, and you'll ultimately throw it up. Even when we find something good, we have to know to take a little of the good. So when we try to take more, we end up throwing it up and not enjoying any of it, even the little that we could have enjoyed. So to Ben Zoma, who tried to attain understandings that were beyond his level, he ended up losing it all. Acher, Elisha ben Avuyo, who's known as Acher, kitzet bantiyot. He walked into the orchard and started cutting down the young saplings. In other words, he walked out of there ruined. The Gemara will explain that he he became a heretic, not because. And Rabbi Akiva Yitzav Shalom. Only Rabbi Akiva made it out in peace. Now we're going to skip because the Gemara quotes a few quotes from Ben Zoma. Once we've mentioned this great sage, and it's not so relevant to us. And then the Gemara quotes a story about Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, who saw Ben Zoma, and when he approached, he saw that his disciple Ben Zoma didn't get up in his honor, so he asked him, where are you coming from? Where are you? And Ben Zoma said, I was trying to figure out the depth of my separation. And so he asked him a question, okay, what'd you figure out? And he gave him an answer. He said, between the heavenly waters and the lower waters, the earthly waters, I see that there's only a distance of three fingers. And he brought a proof for it from the verse. So Rabbi Yehoshua told his students, Benzoma's still out, he still doesn't get it. And he said, it's not that way. He said that there's a smaller distance, there's a distance of a hair. What are the heavenly waters? What are the earthly waters? What's the distance between them? What difference does it make? Why is this a deep understanding? So, I don't know. And now the Gemara goes into understanding who was Acher and what really happened with him. The Gemara quotes again the quote we saw before. We're holding Tesva Mamad Aleph. Acher kitzitz banitiyot. Acher cut the young sapling. Alava ketuv omer, regarding Acher, the verse states, al titen eticha lachatit tisarecha. Don't let your mouth, so to speak, cause yourself to sin. And don't bring yourself to a situation where you have to say before the angels, I made a mistake. Why should God get angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hand? Everything Acher had strived for throughout his life went for naught ultimately, because Acher became a heretic. And we're holding on Tesva Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the top. Mayi. What's the Gemara referring to? Chaza Mitatron. He saw the angel named Mitatron. What's the angel Mitatron? So don't ask me. But those of you who were present in the Parsha Shir of Parsha's Bo, we quoted from Rabbeinu Bechaye, and possibly a Ramban, some understanding as to what this angel is. But we see he's an angel that has extraordinary strength in heaven. So he saw this angel. That he has permission to sit and write the merits of Israel. So obviously, when we read this Gemara, we saw on Shabbos how each word in the Gemara, when the Gemara tells us a story, has deep meanings. So what does it mean he saw Mitatron? What does it mean that he was given permission? What does it mean he was given permission to sit, to write the merits of Israel? So Amar, so he said, Gemira, we have a tradition, Delemala lo avi lo yeshiva velo tacharut, lo oref velo yipui. We have a tradition that the angels, among the angels, there's no such concept as sitting, no such concept as competition, no back, no front. How could it be that I see an angel sitting down to write down the merits of Israel? How does that work? So he said, Shema chas v'shalom bet reshuyotin. Maybe there are two forces running the world. So this great sage, who was on a level, he was a teacher of Israel. He was a big teacher of Israel. When he starts getting an understanding of what's running in how the world runs, how God runs the world, he sees an angel. And when he sees the angel, he sees something that contradicts what he thought he would perceive. This is one of the basic errors that people have when they approach religion. People come with preconceptions, and they search for something that matches their preconceptions. And if it doesn't match, then they're unwilling to bend. They have to fit it into their thoughts, their preconceptions.
Where do you get your preconceptions from?
So Acher had a tradition of how it should look in heaven. And when he saw it and it didn't match what he thought it was supposed to be, so he said maybe there are two forces running the world. And we have to recognize that this is during a time, which we'll discuss later class tonight, the Jews have been under the Persian Empire. And the Persians really believed a religion called Zoroastrianism, that there are two forces running the world. They said, if God is good, so then why is there bad? If God is bad, then why is there good in the world? So it must be there are two forces in the world. There's the force that gives, so it's the force that takes away. There's the force of light and the force of darkness. Two forces. And so Acher, at this, who lives during this time, when he sees an angel that seems to have more power than he thinks angels should be allotted, says maybe there are two forces running the world. As Acher is up there and he entertains this thought, apku lemitatron, and heavens, they get upset at this angel Mitatron, they kick him out. Where did they kick him out of? What does it mean kick him out? Umechyu, and they hit him shitin puras denura, with 60 beams of light. What does that mean?
60.
Okay. Why 60, right? I don't know. Amale. Amrule. in heaven they said to Metatron, "My time ki chazite lo kam mikamei. How come when you saw Acher, you didn't get up? Acher walked in here. How come you didn't get up? If you would have done that, he wouldn't have entertained such a thought. And you wouldn't have had to get hit like this." And Acher, who saw this, in spite of the fact that he saw that Metatron was hit, so he sees that Metatron is being run by some other force. I mean, if he's God, then how is he being hit by something else? And when Acher decided, "I'm leaving, that's it, if this is what I see when I get up here, then I'm leaving this religion." So they gave Metatron permission to wipe off, to erase all of Acher's merits. And that's why the Gemara earlier quoted the verse about Acher, "Don't say it was all a mistake." Acher is going to, when he comes to the world to come, he's going to try to say, I made a mistake. Why did you erase all my merits? I did do good the first half of my life." Yatta matkol, a heavenly voice came out, v'amra, and said, "Shuvu vanim shovavim. Return, sons who have returned to sin. Return to me. Chutz me'acher. Except for Acher." God's waiting for everyone to repent, except for Acher. Now, the simple understanding is that Acher sinned so much, he attained the understanding of what's going on in heavens, and he still left. So the heavenly voice said, "Everyone is welcome back except for Acher." In a second, we'll mention a few other understandings.
There's only three sins that he thinks that he won't be forgiven for.
Okay.
So he never did any of those three, did he?
Okay.
He never murdered anyone, or did it, or don't do anything.
Let's see.
So how
yeah.
Be forgiven?
Let's see. Yeah.
Only his merits were deleted, not his at all. So he started from fresh.
Well, he lost good. I don't know if that's called starting fresh.
It's not starting fresh. He started only with the bad side, just the club with the bad side.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff. Huh? So Acher thought that it meant him, that he couldn't make it back. And some of the commentaries point out that if Acher would have repented, God would have taken him back. A person can always come back. And the heavenly voice only said that God is inviting everyone back but Acher. Everyone else is going to try. God's going to give him a helping hand. Acher has to do it on his own.
Was there, I seem to remember a story about someone else who was in a similar situation, and he repented, like they said, it ever could repent, except when he repented and accepted it. Is that something that you were familiar with?
I don't remember. I don't know. Yeah.
Metatron seems to be punished doing something that he's instructed to do. Yet, he did not stand up while he was observed, being observed by Acher. However, he was never instructed to stand up. He was given permission to sit. So, he's sitting, he's doing what he should do. And we know he was doing what he should have done, and yet he's punished.
As far as I know, angels have free will. They might not have yet a lot, but they have free will. So the fact that we find angels erring and getting punished for their errors, that seems to indicate that they have free will.
But in their free will, it's not that they truly have free will. It's more that when they err, they err on the side of, "I want to do more. I was instructed to do A, and I did A plus.
I don't know if you have to understand that way. I'm not sure you could understand everything that way. There are quite a few sources where they err. And sometimes we say that their error, it would seem that God wanted them to err and wanted them to get punished, and that's supposed to give us a message. That's for sure. Right. But maybe that's what Hashem wants. It's a way of giving us a message.
Oh. Okay.
So, Amar, Sa'achir says, Amar, Sa'achir said to himself, for in the world to come, God says he doesn't want me there, Lepuk Litanein Behayalma. Let me go out. Let me have a good time here. I know later I'm not going to get anything. I might as well enjoy while I'm here. Nafik Acher Letarbut Ra'ah. Sa'achir decided to go to a bad way of life. He decided he's stopping to keep mitzvot. Nafak, he went out. Notice all the words. Nafak Letarbut Ra'ah. He went out to a bad way of life. Nafak, he went out. Ashkach Zona, he found a prostitute. Vitava, and he wanted to hire her. Amra Lei, she told him, Velavet Ishav Navuyat? Aren't you the great sage Elijah ben Avuyat? Aren't you the great sage Elijah ben Avuyat? How could it be you're coming to a situation where you want me? So he hears this, Shabbos, picked up a radish from the field. He plucked the radish. You're not allowed to pluck anything that's growing on Shabbos. And he gave it there on Shabbos. Now, if someone does that, he deserves the death penalty in Judaism. It's a biblical prohibition. So this prostitute said, Amcha vaday shacheru. This must be someone else. This isn't Elisha ben Avuyan. From there he got the nickname, Acher, because she said, this must be someone else. This is not the great Elisha ben Avuyan. So what happened here? Initially she thought, you must be Elisha ben Avuya, and your Yetzer got the better of you. So get control of yourself. You're a big rabbi. You shouldn't be doing this. So then he plucked a radish from where it was growing, and he showed her, I didn't have any Yetzer Hara to do that. So then she said, okay, you're not Elisha ben Avuya. Okay. The Gemara now brings a few stories about him, and the reason we've quoted him is because he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, and our focus is on Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara is going to explain to us a few things about him and Rabbi Meir. Sha'al Acher Rabbi Meir, la'achar she'yatza le'tarbut ra'ah. After Acher stopped keeping Torah mitzvahs, he asked his disciple Rabbi Meir, "Va'amar lei said in my dichtiv." What does the verse mean when it says, Gamedzelu mazeh asa Elohim? God made things one opposite the other in this world. What does that mean? Amal Osh Abner answered him, Komash Ba Kadosh Vahu Barak Nigdo. Whatever God created, he created its counterpart. Only, he created another thing that's similar to it, only it's different in its size. It's a smaller thing which is similar to the larger one. Barakim, he created large mountains. Barak Vaot, so he created smaller hills. Bara Yamin, he created great seas. Bara Narot, he created rivers. So he says, the simple understanding here is, he's telling him, in the physical world, God created things larger and smaller. Obviously, if the Gemara is quoting this just after Acher went out to stop keeping Torah mitzvot, the Gemara is telling us of a conversation which has deeper meaning than just, what does this verse mean? And Rabbi Meir answers him a simple understanding. Amalo. So, Acher said to Abner, Rabbi Kiva, Rabcha lo amar kach. Rabbi Kiva, your Rebbe, did not explain this verse this way. Ela, but what he explained in the verse is, Barat Tzadikim, God created righteous people, and opposite them he created, Barat Reshaim, he created the wicked. Barat Gan Eden, he created the Garden of Eden, Barat Geinom, and he created perdition. So, the verse is referring to two things that are opposing, that are opposite. And Rabbi Kiva explained, Kol echad ve'echad yesh lo shnei chalakim. Every person that's created has two portions that God created for him in advance. Echad ve'gan Eden, if he'll be a righteous person, then there's a portion waiting for him in the Garden of Eden. There's a section that says, this is such and such plot. You know, people buy plots before they die. So in the Garden of Eden, when man is born, God creates a section that's portioned off for him, and if he'll be righteous, he'll get that. Ve'echad ve'gan Eden, God created a section for him in perdition. Zacha tzaddik, if the person narrated he was righteous in his actions, so he'll be in Gan Eden. Natal chelko, he gets his portion, v'chelek chaviro b'Gan Eden, and his friend's portion in the Garden of Eden. Nitchayev Rasha, when the wicked is found guilty, Natal Chelko v'Chelik Chavero b'Yehinom, he takes his portion and the portion of his friend in perdition. So, how do we understand this? One understanding is that in every action that we do, it's not only our action with regards to ourselves. We affect other people. So when a person is sinful, he's not only harming himself, he's given the potential to harm others. Simple example is Acher. He went to sin. So he didn't only sin with himself, he caused the woman he went with to sin also. He caused the people who saw him to have second thoughts. Say, wait a second, a man of his stature is doing that, maybe I have to have second thoughts. That's on a simple level. But we have a tradition that it goes on a deeper level. That the world goes up and down, and God created the world in a way that we have the ability to make the world rise spiritually or go down spiritually. And when we rise, we bring the world up with us. And when we go down, we bring the world down with us. So the one who expands on this idea is the Beis HaLevi, the Brisker Rav. So he writes, he says, sometimes a person who's sinful sees a person who's righteous doing a sin. So he mocks him. And he doesn't realize that the reason that person sinned was because he brought down the world. Meaning when the person looks at him and mocks him, he doesn't realize that he's the source of the righteous person sinning. So we all have free will, but sometimes people could bring the world down. I mean, think about it. You walk into a room and people are judging you. Even if you walk out of the room, it affects you. Walk out of the room, a person swear. Next time something happens, the first inclination is to swear. And that's again on a simple level. But he's speaking on a deeper level. That the world has brought down levels. I think it was the Chafetz Chaim that said that when a person performs a mitzvah here, he's helping a Jew at the other end of the world perform other mitzvahs. Because God created us in a way that we're all part of one system. Amar Rav Mishalshia, Me'ekra, Rav Mishalshia said, what's the source for this from the verses? Kabeta the King Steve, regarding the righteous, the verse says, Lachen Beretz Mishneh, Balsam Mishneh, Beretz Mishneh, Balsam Mishneh Yirashu. They'll get a double portion in the world to come. Why does he get a double portion? Because if he was righteous, he not only was righteous for himself, he also helped others be righteous. And Gabei Rasha'im Stiv, regarding the sinners, it says, God will bring a bad day on them, Umishne Shivaron Shovrim, and God will make them break twice. So why do they break twice? Because they not only get punished for what they did, but for the fact that they caused the world to go down and caused others to err. Another discussion between Asher and Rabbi Meir. Shal Acher Rabbi Meir. So we see here that Asher and Rabbi Meir are discussing. He asks Rabbi Meir a question. Rabbi Meir gives him an answer. He says, wait a second, the big rabbi, your Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, gave a better answer. And he teaches Rabbi Meir another understanding in the verse. Shal Acher Rabbi Meir l'achar she'yatzal tabut ra'a. After Acher became a heretic, after he left, he asked Rabbi Meir a question. My b'chtiv, what does the verse mean? Wisdom, man doesn't appreciate its value. It's not enough for a person to evaluate it with gold and precious glass or klifa's precious vessels. The verse is comparing it to all kinds of precious things. Why is it also comparing it to glass? Amalos, the Rabbi Meir answered him, why you're asking if it compares to precious vessel and to gold, but what about precious glass? What's the logic there? How does glass fit in? Elu divrei Torah shekashin liknotan kechli zahav uchli paz. These are the words of Torah that in order to attain them, they are difficult to attain, like gold vessels or precious vessels. Menochin la'abdan, and they're easy to lose, kechli zchuchit, like glass vessels that break easily. That's what the verse is saying. And if a person isn't careful, it falls and breaks. Now, you guys could think for yourself, what were the two discussions that we've seen thus far? And why they're quoted right here after Acher went off. What was the discussion between Acher and Rabbi Meir? What was Acher's claim? And what was Rabbi Meir answering him? Where was Acher headed? And where was Rabbi Meir bringing him? Amar lo, so Acher answers him, Rabbi Akiva Rabcha lo amar kach. Rabbi Akiva, your Rebbe, he didn't explain this way. Ela, he explained the verse as follows. Ma kli zav uchli zchuchit avtish nishbu yishlem takana. Just like gold and glass, when they break, can be fixed. after mitzchacham after pishus sarach yesh lo takana. Even a great sage, when he sinned, can fix himself. Amar lo, Rabbi Meir turned to Acher and said, "Afatach hazor becha." So repent, Acher. This is the explanation you're quoting me from Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, Acher answered him, "For shamati machoy apagod." I already heard from the inner courtrooms of God. Shuvu vanim shovavim chutz me'acher. Return, sons who have sinned other than Acher. So Acher is trying to point out that he's just in what he's done, because he doesn't stand a chance. So at least he'll enjoy this world, because he has no chance in the world to come. Another story. Acher was riding a horse on Shabbos, which is forbidden. And Rabbi Meir would walk behind him on Shabbos while Acher is desecrating the Shabbos, and Rabbi Meir wants to learn Torah from him. Rabbi Meir was his disciple. Amalo, so Acher said to Rabbi Meir, "Meir chazol acherecha shekvar shi'alti b'ikvei asus at kan megeh tchum Shabbat." He said to him, "Meir, stop, go back, because I've evaluated with the horse's footsteps that till here is the border of Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk beyond this." So here he's riding a horse on Shabbos. He's continuing to go out of the tchum of Shabbos where it's forbidden to go. But he tells his disciple, "You wait there. You can't keep walking and following me." Amalo afatach hazor bechas. Rabbi Meir said to him, "You're telling me to go back. You return." Amar lo v'lo kvar amarti lecha shekvar shamati me'achorei hapagod shuvu v'banim shovim chutz me'acher. So Yitom, didn't I already tell you that I've heard from behind the inner curtain that God has said, come back rebellious sons other than Acher? So even if I repent, God won't accept it. So Rabbi Meir didn't agree. Takfei, he grabbed him. Aile levei midrasha. He grabbed him, he put him in a hole. Maybe some medrash, he hoped, I'll bring him into a holy place. So Acher said, okay. He turned to a baby, a young child that was learning Tanakh, and he told him, "Sokli psukach. Read for me the last verse that you read." And our sages attributed this to strength of prophecy. They said that if you walk into a Beis Medrash where little children are learning Tanakh and they know verses by heart, and you ask them, "What's the last verse you read?" the verse that they quote you has prophetic abilities. So now they walk into here. Rabbi Meir has grabbed his Rebbe and slept him into Beis Medrash. So Acher says, okay. He turns to the child and he tells him, "Tell me, what verse did you just read?" So he told him, "En shalom amar Hashem l'arsha'im." Usually a person walks into Beis Medrash, people greet him, they say, "Shalom aleichem, welcome to Beis Medrash." Now when he walks in, what verse does the child quote him? "There is no shalom, there is no peace," God says, "for the wicked." So Rabbi Meir grabbed his Rebbe Acher and took him into another shul. Now the shul, that's why they put bells on the Sefer Torah, so that when the Rebbe would walk the shul with the Sefer Torah, the children would hear the bells ringing and they'd come after him. So Rabbi Meir took him into another shul. Amali li inuka, so Acher said to a child, "Sopli psukach, tell me your verse." Amalo, so the child quoted to him the verse in Jeremiah, where God tells the Jewish people, "Ki im techatzi banetiv, if you cleanse yourself with the greatest detergents, v'talbi lach borit, and you add the greatest soaps, nichtam avonech lefanai, your sin is sealed before me," God says, "I will not wipe it clean." Aide leveken ish tachriti. Rabbi Meir took Acher into a third shul. Notice he's not giving up. Amale di inuka. Acher said to the child, "Sokli psukach, read to me your verse." Amale, the child told him, "Ve'at shadud." The prophet in Jeremiah tells the Jewish people, you will be attacked by bandits, by pirates. You are being parasized. Mata, see, what can you do? Kitil beshish ani, wear red clothing. Kitadia di zahav, wear golden jewelry. Kitikri vapuchinaich, when you color your eyes to be beautiful. Lashav sityafi, the greatest efforts you will put into putting on makeup, bottom line, no one's going to love you anymore. The prophet is referring to a prostitute that no one wants to turn to, and she tries to beautify herself and no one's interested. And that's what the prophet is telling the Jewish people, that the Jewish people, all the peace treaties they made with the different nations around them, all the alliances they tried to gain, ultimately won't help them. When God decides it's time for destruction, they'll be destroyed, and as much as they try to beautify themselves, it won't help. And when that verse was said to Acher, he understood it was referring to the Torah, the beauty of the Torah that he knew so much. And nonetheless, God's saying, as much Torah as you know, as much as you could teach, that's not going to help you. God's not going to protect you from the punishment you deserve. Rameir isn't giving up. Takes him into a fourth shul. And to another shul. Until he brought him into 13 shuls. All the children that they encountered would give him a verse that was similar to these, indicating to Acher that he doesn't have a chance of getting fixed. Good question. Levatra to the last child, what? I don't know. Levatra to the last child, Amale, Acher said to him, Tzokli Tzukach, read me your verse. Amale, the child told him, V'larasha amar Elohim malecha lesaper chukai. God says to the wicked one, why should you tell over my Torah? I don't want you to quote my Torah. Hahu yenuka havemegamgim belishnei. That child had a stutter. Ishtema kemada amale, it sounded like he said, instead of V'larasha, it sounded like he said, V'le'elisha. Amar Elohim, God said, why are you quoting my Torah? And when Acher heard this, Ika de Amre Sakina veBahadei veKarei. Some say that Acher held a sword in his hand when he heard this, and he cut the child to pieces. He killed him. V'Shadrei Leisa veKenista, and he sent the cuts, the pieces of the child, to the 13 shuls. V'Ika de Amre, and some say that Acher simply said, Amar ihavai bidi sakina v'karanalei. If I would have had a sword in my hand, I would have cut the child up, and he didn't have a sword. Kinach nafshei d'Acher, when Acher passed away, which is an interesting term. Normally we only use the term nach nafshei, that his soul came to rest, about tzaddikim. The question is why the Gemara uses this term about Acher. Amru lo meidan ledainei velo le'alma da'ati leitei. In heavens they said, we won't judge him and we won't bring him into the world to come. We don't want to judge him for his bad actions. On the other hand, we don't want to bring him into the world to come. Look at what he's done. Lo meidan ledainei shum da'asak boraita. We don't want to judge him. He did learn Torah, and that protects one from the fires of perdition. Velo le'alma da'ati leitei shum da'chatar. We won't bring him to the world to come because he has sinned. Amar Rabbi Meir. So Rav Meir said, "Mutav de lidayne v'leite l'alma da'atis." Rav Meir intervened in the heavenly courts. He said, "Judge him, punish him, but at least he'll ultimately enter the world to come." Matay amut v'ale ashan mikivro. Rav Meir said, "I can't wait for the day that I die, and I'll cause Acher's grave to give up smoke, that he'll be punished for what he's done, but will be able to merit the world to come." Kinach nashed Rabbi Meir, when Rabbi Meir passed away, salik kuta mikivrei da'acher. Acher's grave started giving up smoke. Rabbi Meir was his disciple. He said, when I get up there, I'm going to intervene in the rulings of the heavenly court. They said, we don't want to judge him. He learned Torah, we don't want to judge him. And I say it's in his benefit to be judged, and hopefully he'll be able to merit the world to come. And this, our sages say that for years this miracle was taking place. Smoke would rise from Acher's grave because of what Rav Meir had said. He said, well, I'll go up there, I want to change. The smoke is a sign that he's burning in perdition. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gvuta Lemikla Rabbi. Is there such greatness as Rabbi Meir who was able to burn his Rebbe? Chadava Beinanu, there was one student among us who left the ways of the Torah, v'lamatzina le'atzulei. We couldn't save him. And initially, Acher was one of the sages. We have to help him. Inakte bi'ad, if you take me with my hands, I'll take him out of Gehenim. Man ma'amilei man, who could take him out? אמר מתי אמות ואחבי השם מקברו. רבי יוחנן said, I want to die, because when I die, I'll put out the smoke from his grave. Rabbi Meir put him into perdition, I want to take him out. When Rabbi Yochanan passed away, pasak kutla mikivrei daches. So then the smoke really stopped coming out of his grave. And that's what they eulogized Rabbi Yochanan, that even the guard of perdition couldn't hold Rabbi Yochanan out of perdition. When Rabbi Yochanan wanted to enter, he entered. When he wanted to leave, he took Acher with him.
The smoke goes to
Shemaya. Acher's daughter came to Rabbi, Amra le Rabbi Parnaseni. She said, Rabbi, I want you to support me. Amala bat miyat. She said, he asked her, whose daughter are you? You want to know if she's entitled to get the money of tzedakah? From what family is she? She's from a wealthy family, can't give her money. Amala bito shel acher. She said, I'm the daughter of acher. Amala adayin yesh mizachot ba'olam. But there's still offsprings of acher around. Va'aktiv lo nim lo neched ba'amo ven tzid bim gurav. The Torah curses the wicked that they won't have offsprings. Amhalo schol torato. Remember, he did learn Torah. Vantis go masav. Don't remember his actions. Miyad yaldeish v'sichtechas asalo shel Rebbe. When his daughter said that, a fire came down from heaven, and burnt the bench that Rebbe was sitting on. Bachav amar Rebbe. Rebbe cried and he said, Umala mitganim batach. If this is how God protects those who disgrace the Torah. Because Acher did learn Torah at some point in his life, God was, so to speak, protecting his offspring. And we have to stop here, but this is really where I want to get to. The Gemara is now going to ask, how could Rabbi Meir learn from a Rebbe like this? We're ending our class on Rabbi Meir. I thought we'd end today. We'll end the beginning of next week's class. How could Rabbi Meir learn from him? We see he's walking behind him, and the sages held it against him. That's what we're going to see. That the sages had a discussion. How could he do this? He's riding a horse on Shabbos and he's asking him to teach him. So that's where we'll pick up next week, and with that we'll end the story of Rabbi Meir. Yeah?
Quick question. Rabbi Yochanan taking him out of prison, is that to continue to punish him?
No.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan said it's not enough to bring him into perdition. We have to take him out. He was one of ours. So Rabbi Meir put him in. I want to take him out. Okay, I'll wait this a minute. No. Pick up next week.